إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله والخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After having given praise to Allah and asked His salutations on our Prophet and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'd like to welcome you to this lecture, part of an ongoing weekly lecture series sponsored by the Center for Dawah Initiative. Today's topic, inshallah, is the sweetness of Iman. And we're delighted to have our guest speaker, Imam Dawood Adib of the Islamic Center of East Orange. Alhamdulillah, he's a da'i and one of the people of the Quran and Sunnah, inshallah, who is committed to this da'wah in this area. And I know that he's not one for long, lengthy introductions, so without any further delay, we're going to bring him forth to speak to you on this important topic. Assalamu alaikum.
وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدى محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد. All praise is due to Allah. We laud Him, beseech Himself, and in Him we seek forgiveness. And we seek the refuge of Allah Azza wa Jal from the mischiefness of our souls and the wrongdoings of all of our actions. Whoever Allah guides, no one can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leaves to be left astray, it is because of some sick ideology, some kufr, some shirk, some bid'ah, some misconceptions, or strange philosophies that they have in their own hearts and minds. No one will ever be able to guide them. And I publicly bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah. He is alone. He has no partners. And I publicly bear witness without coercion and compulsion that Muhammad ibn Abdullah صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليم المزيدة is his slave and his messenger. Surely the best speech is the book of Allah, Al-Quran, and there is nothing like it. And the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad ibn Abdullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is his sunnah, and there is no guidance like his. And the worst of all affairs in this dunya that revolve around the issues of our deen are newly invented matters. For every single newly invented matter, without a doubt, without exceptions, and there aren't any such things as good bid'ah, is astray. And every astray is in the hellfire. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending as-salatu wa salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after seeking refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from those things that will go beyond the grave, those things that we should be very, very concerned with, those things are our a'mal. Our a'mal, whether they are saliha or taliha, whether they are good deeds or bad deeds, these are the things we should be concerned with. And after this, I then thank those individuals who coordinated this affair, of which I apologize for being late. And I usually am not late, alhamdulillah, I try not to be late, but because I'm not an alim, and because I'm not a sheikh or a scholar, I have to do research. And unfortunately, my research takes longer because I'm so far away from that type of scholarship. So I ask you, brothers and sisters in Islam, to forgive me for being late. This particular subject, and for those who know my MO, when I speak, I don't speak a long time. At least I tried to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that, by speaking short phrases, short periods of time, not long hours and hours and hours and hours, which is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not to speak long hours and keep the people from away from the things that they're supposed to be doing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then the society. So for those of you who came to be entertained, you may leave right now. And for those of you who came to have long discussion, you may leave right now, because this discussion is going to be very short. Halawatul Iman, the sweetness of Iman. Before we begin, we need to talk about what is Iman. What is Iman? Al-Iman has been explained by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many, many narrations. And for the layman, the person who is not familiar with the principles of tafsir of Quran and the principles of usul of fiqh and usul hadith, and these principles that are absolutely imperative for the scholars of Islam to be able to deduce and extract the information that we need to know this being, for those who don't know these things, which is the majority of the people who are Muslims, the majority of the Muslims don't know this, we become very confused when we see the various hadith, the ahadith al-sahiha from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the authentic narration, when it says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-iman is this, and then another narration that says, al-iman is that, and another narration which says, al-iman is this, and another narration which says, al-iman is that, and in those four hadiths, or five hadiths, or 15 hadiths, or 30 hadiths, we said, al-iman is this, and iman is that, the layman gets confused. Wait a minute. I thought he said over here, this is Iman. Now over here he's saying this is Iman. And over here he's saying this is Iman. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained it in one hadith so that we can know, like the scholars know, those individuals from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the likeness of a scholar to the regular worshipper is like the likeness of the moon over the rest of the stars. That's the reason why we don't understand these things. And that's the reason why we're lost. This is the reason why we're lost. This is the reason why the Muslims are astray, because we don't know how to go to the sources to find the explanations of those things that are necessary for us to be good in this life and good in the next. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Imanu bid'un wa sab'una shu'aba." He said that Iman, Al-Iman, is 70 some odd branches. فَأَفْضَلُهَا, and another narration, فَأَعْلَاهَا, and the most excellent of them, and the top of them, and the most superior of all of them, قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, is the statement, the beautiful phrase, الْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَةُ, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, of which many Muslims make the serious mistake of translating La ilaha illallah, the statement of Iman, and the topic, the short, brief topic inshallah, is on halawatul Iman, the sweetness of Iman. Many, many Muslims, and I want you to raise your hand in your heart, the hand that's in your heart, if you have made this mistake. Don't embarrass yourself and myself by raising your hand. Raise the hand in your heart. They translate La ilaha illallah as there is no God but Allah. This proves that we don't understand what Iman is. Anyone who translates La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah, they're making a serious, serious mistake. Serious mistake. Because that's not the meaning of La ilaha illallah, there's no God but Allah. Because there are other gods besides Allah. For sure. And if you don't realize that, then you haven't been reading the Quran, even though this past Ramadan you read it from Al-Fatiha to Nas. You really haven't read the Quran. If you think that there are no other gods besides Allah, there's secularism, there's music, there's sex, there's democracy, there's communism that some people think has died. There are all types of isms and philosophies that are worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ilahun haqq. Al-ilahul haqq. He is the true one to be worshipped. And all the other ones are batil. They're all false. Nonetheless, they exist. So la ilaha illallah is the uppermost part of all the branches of Iman. So there's no confusion with this hadith saying Iman is this and this hadith is saying that Iman is that. This is a very important point. If I never say anything else while I'm sitting here, that we must understand, brothers and sisters, that no verse of the Quran is going to contradict another verse of the Quran. If you want to taste the sweetness of Iman, one of the ways of it is to go to the people of knowledge, like Allah says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Go to the people of knowledge if you don't know. There's no such thing as a verse contradicting another verse. There's no such thing as an authentic hadith contradicting another authentic hadith. And there's no such thing as an authentic hadith contradicting a verse of Quran or vice versa. This is because of some sick misunderstanding that we have in our hearts and because we haven't tasted the sweetness of Iman. That's the reason why we're confused. It's because we're drawing from the wrong fountain to get our explanation for our Iman. And that's why, and I said it before, and I continue to say it again, and I pray that Allah Azza wa Jal allows me to say it until I die. And I hope, and I pray, that I don't die with somebody saying, get your hand out of my pocket. I'm not going down like that. You're not going to get me like that, inshallah. 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 The sweetness of Iman is knowing the principles of La ilaha illallah and how the scholars of Islam deduced it. This is why the Muslims, and I want to say this before I forget, this is one of the reasons why the Muslims think that Jews and Christians are believers. How in the world can you believe that a Jew or a Christian is a believer? How? Because you haven't tasted the sweetness of Iman. You have not, whoever believes that, has not tasted the sweetness of Iman. How can you believe that the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unequivocally, unrestrictedly, all through the Quran, He makes statements like, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. Surely those who disbelieve from among the people of the book and the mushrikun, they will be in the hell fire for a part of a day, for a few weeks, for 3 years, for 100 years, for 1,000 years, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. They'll be in there forever. How's a person going to be a mu'min and be in the hellfire forever? How? So because of just this one example of the existence, one short, brief example of how Muslims today think, we have not tasted the sweetness of Iman. Halawatul Iman, we haven't tasted. The zawq, the taste of the sweetness of Iman, it has not come to us yet, brothers and sisters, because we have not reached that status of recognizing that those individuals who are responsible for teaching us our deen are the inheritors of this deen from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you just can't study 3 years and 5 years and 10 years and 15 years and get it like that. So today, inshallah, we want to talk about the sweetness of Iman. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in an authentic narration collected by Imam al-Bukhari, and Imam al-Bukhari's hadith, commonly known as Sahih al-Bukhari, which is not the real name of it, this is the most authentic book after the Quran. From Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثَلَاثٌ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةِ الْإِيمَانِ أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما. He said that there are three individuals or three things that if they are found inside of one individual, if one person has that inside of them, if they find this, three things inside of their heart, that piece of flesh, that if it is wholesome, the whole body is wholesome. And that if it's corrupt, the whole body is corrupt, that heart, if they have that inside of their heart, then they have the sweetness of Iman. The sweetness of Iman. Listen to the statement of Al-Mustafa, Al-Amin, the one who was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best guide, the real spokesman for human salvation, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to his words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ is that he loves for a person, or firstly, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُ, that he loves the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet, أَنْ يَكُونَ لِلَّهِ أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُ, that he loves Allah and his messenger more than he loves anything else. That's number one. أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواه مما سواهما, that he loves Allah and his messenger more than he loves anything else. And when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked Umar رضي الله عنه, he asked him about this issue of loving him, the messenger of Allah, more than anyone else. He says, I love you more than anyone except myself. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Laugh, no." And then, after Umar realized the mistake he had made, so that we can benefit from his mistake, he said, "I love you more than I love myself." Brothers and sisters in Islam, just this first quality, this first characteristic to let us know we have the halawatul iman, we have the sweetness of iman in our chest, from that first quality, probably, wallahu a'lam, and Allah knows best, probably the majority of us will be disqualified. Probably the majority of us will be disqualified. Because for surety, some of us love ourselves more than we love Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the proof, or one of the proofs, that we love ourselves more than we love Allah and His Messenger, is that we, Dawood Adib, may Allah forgive Dawood Adib and all of you, and you, sometimes we do things in disobedience to Allah, and we do things in disobedience to the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu salam. And this is a proof that this quality, the sweetness of Iman, has not entered into our hearts. Anytime you willfully, deliberately, intentionally disobey Allah or disobey the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu salam, then you have proven to yourself, and Allah already knew it, that you don't put Allah and His Messenger dearer than yourself. Because when you follow your nafs and when you follow your hawa, this is a clear indication that you really don't put Allah and His Messenger before yourself. Some of the Muslims go further away from the right way, and we put other Muslims before Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We love them more than we love Allah and His Messenger. We love them, and they become more dearer to us than Allah and His Messenger. Some Muslims go further away than that, and they love the kuffar more than they love Allah and His Messenger. And some Muslims go farther than that, they love some of the other created things that are inanimate objects more than they love Allah and His Messenger, like their cars, their clothes, whatever. This is a very sad state of affairs for the Muslims. So the first quality is that أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما, is that Allah and His Messenger are more dearer to them than anything else. The second quality, وأن يحب المرء لا يحبه إلا لله, is that he loves a person as he would love him only for the sake of Allah. He loves him, you love your brother in Islam, only for the sake of Allah. I remember when there was a brother who made a mistake, a very serious mistake. Actually, it was a crime. And after this crime was committed, he went to visit the brother, one of the brothers who he committed the crime against. The brother told him that the people of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people of this da'wah, da'wah salafiyya, they say that the thing that keeps us together and that we love a person for, because we're all human and we make mistakes, is our aqeedah. This is the first thing that brings us together. There's some brothers that are sitting right here in this room that I know for a fact that I would never have hung out with them in Jahiliyyah. Never. And we hang out together now. I would never have thought about hanging out with that guy with them pointy toe shoes and the real high water pants as part of the Sunnah now that I realize. And those guys with the big brim hat and them big lapels. I would never hung out with a guy like that because I thought I was fly. But now because of Iman, I love him for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we become close with each other. And some, I hated, were mortal enemies. And now we stand next to each other, alhamdulillah in salah, and we love each other. If you have this quality, brothers and sisters in Islam, this is one of the signs of the sweetness of Iman in your chest. That you love a person only for Allah. Even if he's not a good person, he makes mistakes, but you know that he loves Allah and his messenger, so you love him for the pleasure of Allah. You love your husband for the pleasure of Allah. You love your wife for the pleasure of Allah. This is the sweetness of Iman. But this is only one third of it, because the Prophet said all three qualities, if they are found in an individual, then he has tasted the sweetness of Iman. And lastly, and not last in specific, but in general for this hadith, فَأَنْ يَكْفَرْهُ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ كَمَا أَنْ يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. He hates to revert to kufr as he hates to be thrown into the fire. You know, when every time I think about this, the end of this hadith, I think about those brothers like Brother Ibrahim and the other brothers like Mustafa who worked for the fire department. I can never understand, except for to help the society, how a Muslim could want to go into a fire. I never can understand that. But it's a good job, you know, you get paid, alhamdulillah, take care of your family. But you just think about that. A Muslim who likes to go into the fire. A Muslim who wants to go into the fire. The house is burning. Some of y'all who go to the movies, y'all seen that picture backdraft, right? I asked one of the brothers, he's sitting right here now, who's a fireman. I asked him about that about a year or two ago, downstairs when he had the bean pie thing downstairs. I asked him, I said, how is that picture in comparison to the real thing? He said, 10 times worse. The real thing is 10 times worse. That picture wasn't nothing compared to what really happens when you run in that building. He said, you can feel that heat way down the block sometimes. Can you imagine, brothers, that fire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, seek refuge, تَسْتَعِيذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ نَارِ الْآخِرَةِ. Seek refuge with Allah from the fire of the next life, the fire of this life, the hottest fire in this life, seek refuge with Allah from the fire of that life. Can you imagine that? One narration, and Allah knows best the authenticity of it, 70 times hotter. 70 times hotter than the fire of this life. And Allah knows the authenticity, as we just said, of this hadith. Still, the authentic narration says that this fire, and the hottest fire is what? The sun? Is that hotter than the volcanoes? Is that hotter than the lava? The sun is the hottest fire. Do we agree? The hottest, the sun, is seeking refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fire of that, from the fire of the hellfire. So you see how lightly the Muslims take kufr? You see how lightly the Muslims take shirk? See how lightly the Muslims take bid'ah? Bid'ah, bid'ah, bid'ah. They always talk about bid'ah. When a person's in transition, he calls it bid'ah. You should be afraid of this bid'ah. And you should be afraid of this kufr. And you should be afraid of this shirk. And if you are and you hate to be cast into the fire, then you would be hateful. You would be hateful. You would be hateful in your heart. You would hate your own soul to be cast into the kufr. Because that kufr is the doorway to that fire. And if you hate to be fallen into that kufr, to revert to the kufr, unless you think that you are like Prophet Muhammad, who was never a kafir, because the hadith says, "An ya'uda fil kufr," that he returns to kufr, unless you think that you like the Prophet Muhammad and you were never in kufr. So some of you think that you've been a Muslim for 20, 30 years when you were under Elijah Muhammad. That shows that you don't understand what Iman is. And that shows that you don't understand what kufr is. If you can attach that crap, that shirk, that kufr to this days of Islam, I've been a Muslim 27 years. When I was reigning 7X and then now I'm Muhammad. That proves that you don't understand what El Iman is. the sweetness of iman, brothers, أن يكره أن يعود في الكفر كما أن يقذف في النار. That he hates to revert, to return, to go back to that kufr, like he hates to be thrown into that fire that the son seeks refuge with Allah from. You see how lightly we take this stuff? You see how lightly we take it, brothers? And we say that we're mu'minun. I'm a mu'min. Subhanallah. No, you haven't tasted the sweetness of iman until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes dearer to you than anything else. And if you love a brother who stands up for Quran and the authenticated sunnah and the way that the sahaba understood it and practiced it for the pleasure and sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you hate to revert to kufr just like you hate to be cast into that hellfire. If you have this, brothers and sisters, in your chest, then know for surety, know in reality, you have halawatul iman in your heart. You have tasted the sweetness of iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to give us this example. And the beauty of this hadith, the scholars of Islam have elaborated and elaborated and elaborated on it. And I wish that one day someone who's more knowledgeable than me, that doesn't take a whole lot to be much more knowledgeable than me, could go to the books of hadith, the books of explanation of hadith, and give us a more broader understanding of this hadith. As Ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani rahimahullah did in Fath al-Bari, the commentary of al-Bukhari, when he talked about this particular halawatul iman, the sweetness of iman, and how he said that this is called al-isti'ara takhiliyya. And this explanation needs to be explained to Muslims, how Allah makes the metaphor of the sweetness. Why? It's because when a person is sick, and when there's disease, when they taste honey, it's bitter to the taste. I don't think you really understand, brothers. I hear just a few people saying, and shaking their heads up and down. I'll say it again. When a person is sick and there's disease in their heart, when they taste something sweet, it tastes like golden seal. It tastes like aloes. The reality of the thing is that it's sweet, and everybody else, when they taste it, laziz jiddan, it's delicious. But to them, burr, it's bitter. So when you hear the explanation of the Quran from Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَضَّالِينَ, means the Jews and the Christians, it's bitter to you. Why? Because you don't have the sweetness of iman. You don't have the sweetness of iman. It's bitter. Oh, don't say that. That's not the way you give da'wah to the Jews and the Christians. See? You haven't the sweetness of iman in your chest. When that comes to you, that honey comes to you, that explanation from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, in so many narrations where he says, the Jews and the Christians are غَيْرُ الْمَقْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَضَّالِينَ, to you it's just like golden seal or worse. Maybe boo-boo. Maybe boo-boo on your tongue. Doo-doo on your tongue. You don't like, I don't like that. Just think about how you feel, the repulsion that you have in your heart. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the kuffar are going to be in the hellfire. Oh no, don't say that. Because you don't have the sweetness of iman yet. You don't have it. Those who have the sweetness of iman, when they taste, when they bite on the verses of Allah's Quran and the authenticated sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and masticate it properly and digest it properly and let it go through all their systems of their body, and feed their body, and then they excrete what Allah has given them, it comes out sweet. It comes out sweet. And the sweetness of what comes out, you see it in their actions. You see them crying when they hear those verses of Quran and those hadith of the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left for us through the example of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like the miracle of Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wa ardahu, when he said that I and the Messenger of Allah went out on a journey through the valleys of Mecca, and there wasn't a tree or a mountain that we encountered on the road except that it said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Peace be unto you, O Messenger of Allah. Oh, no, come on now, that's allegorical. That can't be true. I don't accept that hadith. Because halawatul iman hasn't come into your chest yet. You're still back there, as I've been saying, and I'll say it again because I like it myself, and I'm not into myself. When some of you jumped out of the airplane of kufr, your parachutes didn't open up. And you're still waiting while you, when you hit the ground, for your parachutes to open up. See, you're still back there with that allegorical, metaphorical stuff from Yaqub. And you think you're on the sunnah, but you're not on the sunnah. You're still on the island of Patmos. You're still on the island of Pilum, off the Aegean Sea. You're still sticking them needles in your head. Like they said, that the verses stuck in the baby's head. Those who are in the nation know what I'm talking about. That's why the sweetness of this iman can't go in your heart. Because you still got that crap in your chest, and you can't accept the verses of the Quran and the authenticated hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What makes you any different from a Christian? What makes you any different from a Greek philosopher? What makes you any different from a Persian in his ideology that needs to be in a toilet bowl? And you say you're a mu'min? How can you be a mu'min? أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ This is what Allah says in his book about the Jews. Do you believe in part of the book and disbelieve in the other part? And you talking about you have the sweetness of iman? You say that you're a mu'min? How can you be a mu'min loving the kuffar? How can you be a mu'min loving a kafir over your Muslim brother because your brother is inviting people to Quran and Sunnah? And you will put Nelson Mandela over me? You will put Mother Teresa over me? You will put the Pope over me? Because I talk about that kafir and those kuffar who led us astray? You love them more than your Muslim brother? You won't sit on the same podium next to me? And you claim that you have the sweetness of the iman. You claim that you are mu'min. And you prefer the kuffar, worst of creatures, over those who say the statement of sweetness, La ilaha illallah. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Brothers and sisters in Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us so many examples. One of the examples that he's given us of al-iman is his statement in the end of the hadith, al-haya'u shu'batun min al-iman, that modesty is a branch of al-iman. Now, some of the women may say he's always talking about the women and how they dress. Well, I'm not going to talk about the women today by themselves. I'm going to talk about the men and the women and how we dress, how we act, how we behave. Al-haya'u shu'abatun min al-iman. Modesty, chastity, shyness is a part of iman. Some of the women, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, have now put on the niqab, the burqa, the gloves. For some Muslims who haven't tasted the sweetness of iman, they say this is an Arab custom. This is not from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, nor is it from the Quran. What verses of the Quran have you been reading, and what books of seerah have you been reading to say that this is not from Islam? Anyway, there's some Muslim women, unfortunately, and alhamdulillah, they put these things on because it's better for them for sure. And I'm not saying that it's wajib. I'm just saying it's better for them for sure. They make the mistake of thinking because they have the niqab on that they can still go in men's faces. And they can still speak to men unrestrictedly. And they can still be in the presence of men because they cover their faces. This is not a part of shyness, sisters. This is not haya. Alhamdulillah, externally, the haya has come. But now there has to be some internal process. The real hishma has to come, that shyness, with the hayat. And maybe one day someone will come and explain what is the difference between hishma and hayat. These two concepts of shyness. We brothers in Islam, we have to learn how to be more shy. Just because the women are the delicate creatures, al-jinsul latif, that delicate, tender creature that Allah created, it doesn't mean that men can't be shy. Shyness is not softness. Just because you're shy doesn't mean you're soft. The most shyest of men was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after him, Allah knows best, Allah knows best, Allah knows best, may have been Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. But the most shyest of creatures was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he never ever touched the hand of a woman. Don't think, brothers, because you put your head down, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward you, when you walk by a woman, you lower your gaze, that this is all to shyness. No. The way we speak to them, the way we have our comportment with them, the composure we have with them, all of this is a part of Iman. We have to be shy, just like the women have to be shy when we're around the women. Because there's no fitna greater that the Prophet left, no greater fitna than those women. So we must be shy, brothers. This is a shu'abah, this is a branch of Iman. Also, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has explained to us that al-Iman, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, al-Iman yakhlaqu fi jawfi ahadikum kama yakhlaqu thawb. He said that Iman wears out in the side of one of you like a thawb wears out. And I like to use this hadith. It just came to my mind, and I'm not receiving revelation or inspiration, but it just came to my mind. You know, don't lie. Some Muslims and some Muslim leaders say that they're inspired. Some of their followers say that they're inspired, divinely inspired. What in the world are you saying? It just came to my mind. It's not revelation or inspiration. It's not wahi or ilham. Some Muslims believe that the thawb is not a part of Islam. But this hadith, the Messenger of Allah is using the word, al-imanu yakhlaqu, la yakhlaqu fi jawfi a'adikum kama yakhlaqu thawb. That iman wears out inside of one of you like a thawb. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fas'alu Allah. So ask Allah an yujaddid al-imana fi qulubikum. This hadith is collected by Imam Al-Hakim, and he said it is authentic, and our Shaykh, who I'm not afraid to say, our Shaykh, Abu Abdul Rahman Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, Hafidhullah, said that it is also authentic. He agrees with Al-Hakim, Alhamdulillah. So the Messenger of Allah said, so ask Allah to renew your Iman and your chest, because it wears out constantly. It wears out. We have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep renewing it, renewing it, renewing it, renewing it. And this man who made this statement, he was forgiven of all the sins. He was sinless. And he constantly said, as Salama, our mother radiallahu ta'ala anha wa arda'ha said, that the dua that he made most in my house was, Ya muqalliban qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenika. O fluctuator and controller of the heart, make my heart firm in your deen. And another narration, fi deenika wa ta'atika, in your deen and your obedience. The Messenger of Allah constantly asked Allah to make his heart firm. Firm in his deen, the deen of Allah, and in his obedience. So how much more should we be saying? How much more should we be asking Allah to renew the iman in our chest? The way that we renew this iman in our chest, brothers and sisters, is done by the following ways. This will make us have our iman increase. Number one, and not necessarily in this order, is that we have ma'rifatullah. Ma'rifatullah bi asma'ihi wa sifatih. That we have to have knowledge of Allah's names and attributes. We have to know Allah through His names and His attributes. Those people, Da'wah Salafiyya, always talking about Aqeedah, Tawheed, Aqeedah, Tawheed. Extremely important, brothers and sisters. Because if you don't know who Allah is, then how are you going to have your Iman increase? How can you call on the one to increase your Iman and you don't even know what his names and attributes? How are you going to call on him? You don't even know who he is. How? If you don't know who is Ar-Rahman, and who is Ar-Rahim, and who is Al-Mu'min, and who is Al-Qawi, and who is Al-Ghaffar, how in the world are you going to utilize those names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you in your daily life so that your iman will increase? How can you call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is like Coke, the drink, the real thing? How can you say that about Allah? How can you call Allah the divine man? How can you call Allah the ultimate reality? How can you call Allah these things that he didn't call himself? Subhanallah. Subhanallah amma yushrikun. Allah is far above all those things that they ascribe to him. If you don't know who Allah is, brothers and sisters, you'll never have the increase, the augmentation of iman in your chest. You'll never have it. We have to know who Allah is. We have to spend more time knowing who Allah is. Take some time out, brothers and sisters, to go to some person of knowledge, whether it be an alim, of which we don't have too many people around here like that, even though we do think that there are some people around us that are ulama and sheikh, or some student of knowledge who can train us and teach us and the principles of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed Asma wa Sifat. We have to know these things so we can have this iman increase in our chest. Because if we don't know who Allah is, then we don't know anything. As Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah says, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَوْ عَرَفَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ رَبَّهُ فَكَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ شَيْئًا. That the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he knew everything, biology, botany, science, all the sciences, all the technologies, everything, the science of this, the science of that, and he doesn't know his Lord, is as though he doesn't know anything. We have to get to know who Allah is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, we should also ponder upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters, in many verses of the Quran, he tells us to ponder over the creation. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. Surely, in the alternation of the night and the day, in the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a sign. For who? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُيُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Those who remember Allah standing, sitting or lying on their side. Those are the ones who they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they say, after looking at the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you didn't create all this batilan. You didn't create this, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for nothingness. You did this for a magnificently, supremely, tremendous, great reason that we don't understand. So if we want to have the iman increased in our chest, brothers and sisters in Islam, we should look at the creation. Unfortunately for us who live in these cities, who don't live in the suburbs or live in the rural areas, who don't get the chance to go see the rainbows and the water coming from the rocks. We don't get that chance because we have all these buildings around us and all this hip-hop music and people cursing all the time and women naked, all this filth and corruption. We can't even tell if the sun is setting sometimes or rising because the buildings are so tall. We have to go by some calendar. We can't get a chance to reflect on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take your families out to the park. Take your families out to the beach one day and just sit and just wait and just look. Look at the birds. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes their wings open and close. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes the leaves when they drop from the trees. And the leaves go this way and they go that way and they go this way and they go that way. And then they settle and then they turn color during the season. And how the ants go in their holes. And the bees go in their hives, and they go to find the pollen, and they pull things out. All these things and many more things. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, billions of sperm going towards that egg, and only one reaches it. All these beautiful things that Allah has created. We should look at them. This will increase us on iman. For surety, this will increase us in our iman. And lastly, obedience to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because if you don't obey Allah and His Messenger, brothers and sisters, then you will not have the increase in the sweetness of iman. We have to learn how to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on obeying Allah, we will obey the Messenger of Allah, and that will be the proof. That will be the proof that the sweetness of Iman has now entered in our chest. And if you obey Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then Allah will love you. Because there's one thing, brothers and sisters, that we've said before in the past, that we hope to continue to say, it's one thing for Allah to be loved by you. But does Allah love you? Just think about it. I'll be silent maybe for 2 or 3 seconds. Think about this reality. Does Allah love me? How do you know Allah loves you, brothers and sisters? قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمَ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and he loves Allah. We're not sure for ourselves, but we're sure that Allah loves the Messenger of Allah, and we're sure that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves Allah. Say to them, O Muhammad, if you Muslim, now imagine Muhammad standing in front of you right now. If you Muslim, can you imagine him pointing his blessed finger at you and saying to you, and that's the proof that we are being loved by Allah. Because Allah says in the next part of the verse, يُحْبِبُكُمْ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. The proof of the sweetness of Iman and the sweetness of the Habb and the Mahabba of Allah, the love of Allah, is that Allah will love you and forgive you of your sins. If you follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following Prophet Muhammad, obeying Prophet Muhammad will increase your Iman, and you will have the sweetness of Iman, and the direct result of that is that Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. Now, as the scholars of Islam say, from mafhum al-mukhalafa, a principle in Islam, the opposite of that is, if you don't follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah won't love you, and if Allah doesn't love you, now I want a participatory lecture now. If Allah doesn't love you, the answer is what? What's the opposite? He hates you. And if Allah forgives you of your sins for following Muhammad, if you don't follow him, he what? He won't forgive you your sins. That verse, brothers and sisters in Islam, should automatically, right this minute, should have increased you in Iman. That verse, by itself, out of all the verses in the Quran, should have increased you in Iman. All I gotta do, I'm using bad English purposely. I'm not gonna say all you have to do. All you gotta do. All I gotta do is follow Prophet Muhammad, Allah will love me and forgive me my sins. Why? That's what you should be saying yourself. Now, I need to go and find out, what does it mean to follow Prophet Muhammad? What does it mean to follow the Prophet Muhammad? It's one thing to say you follow him and you're still a believer, and then the reality of it is that you may not be following him, that you may be following someone else whom you put above him, which with the other hadith proves that you don't have the sweetness of Iman because you love somebody else whom you're following more than you love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You may be loving somebody else more than you love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's why you don't follow him. Even though you say with your tongue, I follow him. Remember the statement, La ilaha illallah. There's nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah. That statement that Wahab ibn Munabbih, radiallahu anhu, one of the tabi'un, he was asked, Alaysa kalimatul La ilaha illallah miftahul jannah? Isn't the statement La ilaha illallah the key to paradise? And Wahab ibn Munabbih, radiallahu anhu, said, Bala, walakin, لكل مفتاح له أسنان إذا أتيت بمفتاح له أسنان فتح لك وإلا لم يفتح. Yes, the statement La ilaha illallah is the key to paradise, but every key has ridges, every key has teeth. If you come with the key with the ridges or the teeth, the doors of paradise will be open wide for you. And if you don't come with the key with the ridges or the teeth, the doors of paradise won't be open for you. See, so just saying that La ilaha illallah, or just saying I follow Prophet Muhammad, is not enough. There are some conditions. When you follow the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you implement it with the fullest of your capacity? Do you implement it with love and willful obeisance in your chest for Allah? When you raise those pants and that salve above your ankles, are you doing it just because you want to be associated with the people who do that so you can hang out with the crowd? Or do you really love Allah when you do it and really love Muhammad when you do it and want to follow him? Or are you just doing it so you don't want to be an outcast among the people of the Sunnah? Huh? When you put on that niqab, are you doing it because you just want to hang out with the women who put on niqab? Are you doing it just because you want to be associated with that praiseworthy clique? Or are you doing it because you really love Allah and you really love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you really want to follow him so that Allah will love you and forgive you your sins? See, the sweetness of Iman hasn't really entered in your chest. So the person who wants to do it and they're afraid to do it may be better than you for putting on that niqab or raising that thing above the ankles which is in the hellfire. And that's not allegorical, brothers. It's in the hellfire. So, if we want to have the sweetness of Iman, and that Iman increased in our hearts, we have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and obey His Messenger. And lastly, brothers and sisters in Islam, Al-Iman, as one of the great scholars of Islam, and you probably heard me quote this a lot these days, because I love this statement, wallahi I love this statement. One of the great people of the past, named Sahl ibn Abdullah al-Tusqari radiallahu anhu, he said, when he was asked about al-Iman, in conclusion, al-Iman, he said, is qawlun wa amalun wa sunnatun wa niyatun wa sunnah. He said al-Iman is statement and action, niyya, intentions, and sunnah. This is what al-Iman is. He said, إِذَا كَانَ عَمَلًا إِذَا كَانَ قَوْلًا بِلَا عَمَلٍ فَهُوَ كُفْرٌ. He says, if it is a statement without action, then it is kufr. If it is a statement without action, then it is kufr. Because some Muslims deviated from the path of Allah, and they believe that Iman is just saying, La ilaha illallah. Some Muslims went even further than that and just said that al-Iman is just acknowledging La ilaha illallah, like the Jahiliyyah of the past. And the Muslims of Ahl al-Sunnah don't consider the Jahiliyyah Muslims. This is one of the groups among the deviant sects that the Muslims agree that the Jahiliyyah are not Muslims. They're kuffar. These are the people who believe that just acknowledging La ilaha illallah makes you a Muslim. And you have some Muslims sitting right here, and I have no doubt. And of course, I'm not Allah, and Allah knows best. I have no doubt you got some Muslims right now among the men and the women who believe that if a kafir, Sal, the one who works in this building right now, if he's just nodding his head when you say La ilaha illallah, you'll say he's a believer. Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. And I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just calling a spade a spade. That kafir in this building who you keep putting over the Muslims, I said it, that kafir who you keep putting over the Muslim, if you were to say, I bear witness that there's nothing, see, I'm talking about the sweetness of Iman, brothers. I'm talking about the sweetness of Iman. You trust him with the keys, you trust him with everything, you don't trust the Muslim. You say you got a sweetness of Iman. If that kafir, may Allah guide him, ameen. If you said right now, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, which he should be saying, and which you should be trying to get him to say, working with him every day in his building, if you said ashhadu an la ilaha illallah and he nodded his head and or said yes, you say he's a believer. You see? But a statement of la ilaha illallah without action, this is still kufr. This is still kufr. وَإِذَا كَانَ قَوْلًا وَعَمَلًا بِلَا نِيَّةٍ فَهُوَ نِفَاقٌ. And if it's a statement and an action without intentions, then it's hypocrisy. If it's a statement and an action without a niyyah, then it's hypocrisy. وَإِذَا كَانَ قَوْلًا وَعَمَلًا وَعَمَلًا وَنِيَّةً بِلَا سُنَّةً فَهُوَ بِدْعَةً. And if it's a statement and an action and an intention without a sunnah, then it's bid'ah. All of that is Iman. And the opposite of it is whatever one of those categories that the Shaykh mentioned. If you have all of them inside, missing, then you don't have iman. Iman, brothers and sisters, is a statement with the tongue, complete, strong affirmation in the chest, carrying out those things with the bodily limbs, and it increases with obedience to Allah and His Messenger, and it decreases with disobedience to Allah and His Messenger. This is the meaning of al-Iman. So no matter how much Mother Teresa goes all over the world helping people, as you think, getting rewards with Allah, if she doesn't make that statement, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, then she will be in the hellfire khalidina fiha abadan. She will be there forever. Don't call her a kafir. How can you call her a mushrika? How can you call her a kafir? Because Allah calls her a kafir and Allah calls her a mushrik. And if you don't understand that, then you haven't tasted the sweetness of iman. Brothers and sisters, we have to come to the reality of this being. Allah says in His book, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا دُخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. All you who are believers, all you who say you have iman in your chest, enter into Islam in its entirety, in totality, not partially. Udkhulu fi s-silmi kaffa, all of Islam, and don't follow the footsteps of Shaitan, for surely he is an avowed open enemy to you. Brothers and sisters, we have to come back to this deen. We have to come back to the fullness and the sweetness of this deen. The banner of it is La ilaha illallah. When you see these kafirs that you work with in this building and other places, and these kuffar that you work with on your jobs, and these kuffar that you go to school with, getting that knowledge is going to stop at the grave. Getting that knowledge is going to stop at the grave. Getting that knowledge is going to stop at the grave. You need to be inviting them to the real Islam. The one that some people put emphasis on when they say El Islam. Like it ain't Islam. And I say ain't, just to wake you up. Islam, El-Islam, it's all the same. Definite article without the definite article. This is what we need to be inviting the people to. And when you invite them to Islam, you're inviting them to Iman. And when you invite them to Iman, you're inviting them to El-Islam. Because when they're mentioned as one word, they both mean the same thing. Iman by itself means Islam, and Islam by itself means Iman. And when Islam is mentioned with Iman together, then Islam means those things that you carry out with your bodily limbs, and Iman means those things that you believe in your chest. I'll say it again. That Iman and Islam separately means two different separate things in specific. But when they're mentioned by themselves, one means the one and the other, and vice versa. So with that, brothers and sisters, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases us in Iman, and that we have the sweetness of Iman. For surety, if you love for Allah, and you hate for Allah, and you give for Allah, and you withhold for Allah, فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then you have the completion, the perfection of Iman. Don't be like the Christians, brothers and sisters, and say, oh no, God is love. We have to love the kuffar. No. Loving for Allah, hating for Allah, giving for Allah, and withholding for Allah is the completion and perfection of Iman, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in authentic narration. If anything that I said that is correct, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-mu'min. Allah is al-mu'min. And anything that I said that is incorrect, it is from myself and or Shaitan. If I offended anyone here today or in the past, and it was because of something I said of the truth, then you should ask Allah to remove that corrupted crap in your chest and replace it with Iman. And if I offended you of something I said that was from other than the truth, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me, and then I ask you to forgive me. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر لي ولكم وللسائر المسلمين أجمعين في كل مكان. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.